Good afternoon. This is Pastor Brian Schlottman again from Lawrenceville Church of God. I want to say thank you for continuing to support this Bible school and listen to these podcasts. This will be lesson 3 out of 10, and today we're going to be continuing our talk on systems. I want to say thank you to all of you who participated in the homework assignment and got me your vision statements and mission statements. And we will continue today with the systems talk that we did not get into during our last session. I want to remind you that if you would like a broader, more in-depth talk on the subject of systems, to please seek out Andy Stanley's talk on systems. In fact, I took most of what you will hear today from his discussion on church systems that was given at the Catalyst in 2008, the Catalyst Conference here in Gwinnett County, Georgia, 2008. Let us begin with prayer, as always. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for these men and women that are listening to this podcast. I pray that you broaden their minds, that you expand their knowledge, God, and I pray that you provide for them an opportunity to exercise the gifts and the callings that you've placed in their lives. I pray, God, that what we discuss today will be of benefit to them, and that you stretch them and use them in a mighty way all over this globe. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Systems. A little bit about systems. You know, when we say the word systems, a lot of things come to mind. You know, and everywhere we look, there are systems in life. In fact, in the beginning, even before God created man, he created the solar system. You know, in our bodies, we have a circulatory system, we have a respiratory system, and we have a nervous system. Even our bodies are designed around systems. And in organizations, when we experience problems, you know, whether it be in your church or your local congregation or your local business, more than likely we tend to blame people, don't we? We typically do. When something goes wrong, we got to find out who do we blame and who do we pin the responsibility on. But a lot of times what we fail to do is to look at our systems. In our churches, we as church leaders will sometimes complain about our people. Why is that our people won't invite others to church, we say, you know, and we have these frustrations that we have as administrators and pastors about our people and why they behave certain ways. But, you know, the thing about it is that most of the time when we experience troubles inside of a church or an organization, it's not the people that we need to look at. We need to quit looking at people and looking at them as the cause of problems, but rather we need to consider, could the problem be the kind of systems that we have in place in our organization? Here's a couple of thoughts on systems, 4 thoughts on systems. Thought number 1 is this: if we don't change anything at the system level, nothing changes. You know, a lot of times we'll hear lessons like this, or we'll attend conferences and we get excited about new ideas and new thoughts and new things that we hear, and we're so excited. I mean, I'll go to a conference and I'll write down 2 or 3 pages worth of things that I want to try as soon as I get back. And I get back to my local church and I get so excited as one of the pastors to implement new changes. But then after a while, I get frustrated because, you know, I come back with a new program, I come back with a new idea, but it seems like after a while, things just simply return back to where they started. And that's because we don't address the system. And again, if we don't change anything at the system level, nothing changes. Thought number 2 is this: there are organizational systems that are conducive to ministry and organizational systems that impede ministry. Again, let me read that again. There are organizational systems that are conducive to ministry and organizational systems that impede ministry. You know, we have different thoughts and ideas about how to do certain things within our local churches, different administration systems and different procedures and policies. And it is true that we can create systems that keep us from doing the kind of ministry that we need to do. And of course, there are systems that are conducive to that as well. Thought number 3 is that there are organizational systems that free leaders to lead and organizational systems that obstruct leaders. Basically the same thought. You know, I worked as a youth pastor at a church where we had about maybe 50 people in the youth ministry, and the church itself was about 400 people in size. And the system, the financial system at this church, was something like this. If I was a minister at the church and I wanted to spend some money on my program, I would simply take that request to the senior pastor and say, you know, Pastor, I would like to buy XYZ for the local ministry and for the youth ministry, and I would like to do that this week. And he would tell me, okay, go and compare prices and come back with me and let's talk about it. Well, so I would do that. You know, I would go out and I would look up prices and I would schedule a time to meet with the pastor again, and we would sit down and we would discuss the expense, and we would look at it and we would consider it some more, and I would have to make my case why I needed the expense. And then eventually he would approve the expense and I would go and purchase the item or whatever it was that I needed for the ministry. Well, this was a great system. It worked out well, but the problem is that we grew. So as we grew from 50 teenagers, we eventually became 60 to 70. In fact, we had, at our peak, we had over 200 teenagers meeting every Wednesday and Thursday night for ministry there at the church. Well, by that time, things were getting crazy. I, in order for me to lead, you know, there were certain expenses that I needed to be able to purchase quickly. There were items that I needed to take care of. Things moved so quickly just because of the sheer mass of people. And one of the problems that I would have is we tried to keep the same system in place for doing purchases within the church, even though the ministry grew. So I would get frustrated and sometimes even blame my pastor and say that he was not supporting my ministry because it was so difficult to purchase items that I needed for the ministry. But it wasn't his fault at all. It was simply that we had existing systems in place that did not work for the ministry of my size. I would get frustrated because I would find out about a certain item that we needed for the evening service, and it was like pulling teeth to try to get that purchase made. So finally, what I decided to do was change the system. I worked with my pastor, and we sat down and discussed a budget of things that we would need for the next 6 months, and I presented to him at one time a budget, a planned expenditures for what we would need to purchase over the next 6 months. And of course, we looked at it and he was favorable to that, and we implemented that new system. Then I had the freedom to lead and purchase what I needed according to a spending plan that he and I had agreed on. So again, you know, a lot of times we tend to look towards people and say, you know, people are the problem. People are the reason why we're not being able to do ministry or perhaps grow or perhaps do this or do that. But the truth is we have systems in place that will either free you to lead or rather obstruct you. So point number four is that a system is your organization's approach to getting things done. You know, this is how you do things in the office, how you do things in the church, you know, your policies and procedures. It's important that when you look at your systems, that you look at them with that lens, with that context in mind, that whatever your systems are, that's how things are going to get done at your church. You know, what is your policy if the women want to reserve the fellowship hall on a Saturday night for a prayer meeting? How do they go about getting that done? Do they need to contact the senior pastor? Is there a master calendar in the office that they put the request on? You know, what is your system? What is your approach to getting things done in your church? Here's a major point about systems. Systems create behaviors. If you get one thing out of this entire podcast today, I would like for it to be that point, that systems themselves create behaviors. You know, a few months ago, I was fortunate to go minister to several churches in the country of Spain. And I had the honor of being a guest on a radio talk show where we discussed the state of the youth of Spain, and why the youth of Spain were rejecting religion and rejecting the church. And as we began to talk about it, it became clear they were rejecting systems that were broken in Spain. Now, they weren't rejecting God per se, and it wasn't that these teenagers and that these youth were not interested in the gospel or not interested in a relationship with God, but they were looking at systems within the church that were broken, and it just wasn't relevant. In fact, the church had systems in place that had been in place for over 200 years, but yet the systems were not addressing the needs of the youth at that time. I was recently in Germany, and one of the things that struck me as being interesting in Germany was the fact that there is a growing revival of young people who are excited about the move of God in their country, which is a breath of fresh air, because traditionally speaking, the youth, the younger cultures in the Western European cultures have rejected the church. And this is because primarily the church has been more or less an operation of the state. As a matter of fact, if you are a registered Catholic or Lutheran in the country of Germany, the tithing system is such that your employer withholds your tithes and sends those to the government. Then the government directs those funds to the local churches if you're Lutheran or Catholic. So in Germany, even religion, even the church has been associated with the state. So people look at the church in the same way they would look at the government, as just another governmental institution. Because of that system, that has created behaviors about how young people and even society view the church. Again, systems create behaviors. Talks don't create behaviors, but systems create behaviors. I remember as a youth pastor, I would have these times when I would go to my young people and I would preach a series on purity, and I would be very excited about a certain series, and I would prepare, and I would have these wonderful illustrated sermons, and we would preach our hearts out, and over 3 or 4 weeks we would deliver this message that God has given us. But at the end of it, many times behavior didn't change. You know, as much as I don't want to admit it as a pastor, as somebody who loves to preach the gospel, talks and sermons don't create behaviors, but rather systems create behaviors. You can preach a great sermon about marriage. You can have a great marriage retreat at your church. You can do all these wonderful things. But if you don't have systems in place in your church that support and nurture marriages on a continuing basis, your talks will be all for naught. Preaching does not create behaviors, but systems do create behaviors. Here's a thought. The systems you inherit, adopt, or create will eventually impact what your staff and your volunteers do. Regardless of your size, the kind of systems that you create will impact what your people actually do. You know, this is sometimes hard to recognize because it runs below the surface. And when something in our church or organization goes wrong, our first response is that we tend to blame people. And all of the development of your vision and mission statement and your core values mean nothing unless you have systems that support them. For example, our vision, as I shared with you at Lawrenceville Church of God, is to be many ministers in many locations, reaching thousands of people weekly in Gwinnett County and beyond. And our mission is centered around doing four basic things: creating leadership, creating leaders, perpetually creating leaders, creating innovative ministry wrapped around the hearts of those leaders, and creating inspirational worship experiences that connect people to God and with each other. Well, that's a great mission statement for us, but it would mean absolutely nothing unless we had systems that support those missional items. For example, our missional item that says that we are to perpetually create Christian leaders, we have an entire department dedicated just to that within our church. We have systems, we have policies and procedures that are in act and in place that create leadership within the church. and allow leadership to foster and grow. So, you know, it's not, it's just as important to have systems that create behaviors towards your mission as it is simply just to have a mission statement. You know, anytime you hear someone say, well, our people just won't, and then fill in the blank, you are basically listening to someone who doesn't understand the influence of systems. Your people will behave according to the systems that you create in your organization. So when I talk about a system, what am I really talking about? Well, very briefly, I want to give you five components of a system, five components of a system. And these are very basic. The first component are expectations. You know, in this system that you're creating, you know, whether it has to do with your calendaring system, your you know, the system for scheduling people for the worship singing in your church, whatever, you got to have five expectations or five things that you got to answer. And the first of which are expectations. What are the expectations in our church for this system? What do we expect the people to do? The second is rewards. What do we reward in our church? You know, here's a thought. What's rewarded is repeated. And this is so true. What you tend to reward as a leader or administrator or pastor within your organization is what people will repeat because they learn that it has value, and inherently and naturally and instinctually, they will repeat that. So what's rewarded is repeated. So in your system, what gets rewarded? You know, many times we have systems where we, not intentionally, but we subsequently reward poor behavior because poor behavior is what receives the attention of usually of our leaders and of our pastors. When someone, and so people learn that if you wish to get the attention of certain people, you have to behave poorly. We see this in parenting so many times when we reward unintentionally poor behavior by giving attention, where we need to reward what we want to have repeated. So what are the reward systems what are the rewards that are in your system? Thirdly, consequences. You know, what are the consequences for poor behavior within your system? What happens if the piano player doesn't show up to rehearsal? What does your system say about consequences? Communication. How are things communicated within your system? Do you have a central person within that department that communicates, or are things communicated through a website, or are they communicated organically? You know, it's important that your system has a communications component. And then another component of a system is, of course, behavior of those in charge. Those that are in charge of that system, what is their behavior? How are they to behave? That's another component of a system. Systems have a greater impact on organizational culture than do mission statements. This is a very key, important thing that I want you guys to understand, that, you know, your vision statement and mission statement do have value, and they bring your organization together under a common umbrella. But at the end of the day, systems have a greater impact on organizational culture than do mission statements. This principle explains why it is so difficult to transition a church or an organization, because your culture, the way people relate one to another and to other people outside of the organization, is derived from the systems that are in place. You know, our senior pastor had passed away at our church about 2 years ago. And fortunately, we had another associate pastor at our church who was able to step up and take the reins of our church and has done a fabulous job in the last 2 years that he's been there. But during the time of transition, we knew that things needed to change. And because of the wonderful leadership of our prior pastor, we were able to make transitions. But we realized that in order to get our people to behave differently and in order for our culture to shift and change, we needed to change some of our systems. So a lot of our work over the last 2 years has been on adjusting systems within our church communication systems, the way we put together bulletins, the way we promote within the church, all of this helped to shape our culture for where we are today. You know, if a new leader casts a new vision and never addresses old systems, basically nothing at all changes. In closing, I want to offer you just a few scriptures and take something and just write down these references. I'm not going to read them all. It's more for your study. But, you know, when we look at systems for our local churches, there are some elements in scripture that we can pull from. I do want to offer a word of caution, though. When you look at the Bible for developing systems for your church, we've got to understand that a lot of things that we see are more than often descriptive rather than prescriptive in scripture. So although we do learn principles within the New Testament and Old Testament about how to organize a church and things that we ought to integrate into our systems, please do pray thoroughly about the systems that you implement in your church. Delegation is an important component that needs to be integrated into our systems, and you can find plenty of scripture on delegation in Acts chapter 6 and Exodus 18. Accountability, you can find great material about accountability in Acts 15. Authority is Romans 13. Interdependence. Paul has a great discussion on his spiritual gifts. When you read through that discussion of spiritual gifts, look for the interdependence that he's pointing to that we've got to have, not just with God, but with others as well. Point leadership is modeled in Old Testament and New Testament. This is a key point. Seeking counsel. You can look all through Proverbs and even Acts chapter 15. You know, it's important that we have these different principles that should be integrated into our systems. In closing, I want to read you a scripture, Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. It says this: we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, then let him serve. If it is teaching, then let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. And if it is contributing to the needs of others, then let him give generously. If it is leadership, then let him govern diligently. I pray for you today that your leadership will grow and that you would govern diligently in your churches. God bless you, and I'll be speaking with you soon.